This is Phil Nee, hoping all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later, we'll be back with this community conversation on the morning show today. News This Hour is sponsored by the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 32 degrees at 9 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley.
The Oscar nominations have been announced, and the blockbuster Oppenheimer has a leading 13 nominations. Barbie has 8. Nominated for Best Documentary, the Ukraine war film 20 Days in Mariupol, which is a joint production between this organization, the Associated Press, and PBS's Frontline. New Hampshire voters are making their choice in the GOP presidential primary. The AP's Donna Warder.
Reporters from around the globe came to the tiny resort town of Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, to cover the first 2024 presidential primary. And there were more reporters than voters. At 12 a.m. Tuesday, all 6 registered voters of Dixville Notch cast their ballots for Nikki Haley, giving her a clean sweep over former President Donald Trump and the other candidates. For the record, there are 4 registered Republicans in the town and 2 undeclared. Dixville Notch's first-in-the-nation voting dates back to 1960, with the results announced just a few minutes after midnight. I'm Donna Warder.
Much of the nation still wrestling with Mother Nature. The AP's Julie Walker.
Flash floods inundated homes and overturned cars in Southern California as torrential rain swept through a large swath of the U.S. Over a 3-hour period on Monday, 3 inches of rain fell near San Diego. During the winter, the region typically averages around 2 inches of rain per month. The San Diego County Sheriff says deputies pulled people to safety after water rushed into homes. Other residents escaped by wading through waist-high water, carrying their cats and dogs. I'm Julie Walker.
A Catholic charity based in Rome is urgently appealing to Alabama to stop a planned execution this week using nitrogen gas, calling it barbarous. This is AP News. A former U.S. Army soldier has been arrested and charged in connection with the January 6th riot at the Capitol. The AP's Ed Donahue.
A former Army soldier is facing charges connected to the Capitol riot. The FBI says Edward Richmond Jr. from Louisiana was wearing a helmet, shoulder pads, goggles, and a Louisiana state flag patch on his chest on the day of the riot when he assaulted police in a tunnel outside the Capitol. 20 years ago, an Army court-martial panel convicted Richmond of voluntary manslaughter and sentenced him to 3 years in prison for killing a handcuffed civilian in Iraq. He also received a dishonorable discharge from the Army. A witness helped the FBI identify Richmond as somebody who traveled to Washington 3 years ago with several other people to serve as a security team. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Gas is $3.08 a gallon today, about a penny more than a week ago. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink. The Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Just call them at 649-7469. If you're looking for quality fresh cows and 2-year-old heifers, you need to head to the Richland Cattle Center Wednesday at 11:30. This week's auction includes the milking herd of Jake Dish of Greene County. 40 head, that includes 31 Holstein, 6 red and white Holstein, and 3 brown Swiss cows. They're milked in tie stalls and let out daily. This herd is milking well, and the bred cows are bred back ABS to Black Angus cows. For everyone liking this herd, check it out at the Richland Cattle Center, plus the weekly run of fresh cows and 2-year-olds, milking and bred back cows, springing cows and first calf heifers, bred heifers, open heifers, all ages, a breeding age bull, baby heifer, and bull calves. For up-to-date listings, visit stadyauction.com. Don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sales at Ithaca every Wednesday starting at 11:30 a.m. A winter weather advisory in effect for Grand County until noon and Iowa County until 2 today for some light freezing rain, possibly some snow developing. A dusting to 1 to 2 inches could happen around the area today. A high of 34, east winds at 5 to 10. Then tonight, fog could be a factor, a low of 30. Light rain likely by late morning tomorrow and a high of 37. Right now in Richland Center, 32 are up 1 from the overnight low. School is closed today in the Highland School District and in the Fenimore District. Those two decided to change course after conditions did not improve. In fact, sounds like it worsened a little bit with some fog settling in and some icy conditions, especially on the ridges. Highland and Fenimore closed today. School still delayed 2 hours in the River Valley District. That includes St. John's and St. Luke's. And the Richland County Snowmobile Alliance announced all snowmobile trails are now officially closed until further notice.
Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage. Is 2024 your year to buy a house? I can help you with an FHA loan, a VA loan, a USDA loan, a conventional loan, or a first-time homebuyer loan. And if you give me a call and you say you heard my ad on WRCO or WRCE or whatever it is now, I will pay up to $250 towards your appraisal. So give me a call, let your questions be answered, and let's get comfortable and let's build a relationship and let me and my team help you buy a house in 2024. 608-604-5068.
Boscobel is Wisconsin's outdoor recreation destination. The Boscobel Chamber of Commerce encourages your visit soon. Mr. Tom's Auto Body specializes in collision repair and refinishing, rust proofing, rust repair, sandblasting, and more. Call 375-4480. Total Tech provides a host of services including flat rate commercial IT support and PC repair, security cameras, telephone systems, and audio and video solutions. J&J Recycling and Salvage pays more for complete cars, offers farm cleanup, and buys cars and trucks. If it's here, it's for sale. Call 375-5353. And Herculift is your local material handling supplier with service parts and rental equipment, as well as new and used options for purchase or lease. Call 800-362-3500.
Attention fishing enthusiasts and families. Mark your calendars for the Highland Lions Club annual Dean Olson Memorial Fishery. Join them on Saturday, January 27th at Black Hawk Lake Recreation Area, 2025 County Road BH, Highland. Gates open at 5 a.m. The day is packed with excitement, adult fishing contest, kids learn to ice fish, bake sale, euchre tournament, meat paddles, live auction, and more. Plus, indulge your taste buds with concessions and warm up by the heated pavilion. The fun starts at 9 a.m. and the action continues all day. Raffle tickets are available from members and local businesses. For updates, check out the Highland Lions Facebook page. Highland Lions Club, where community, fun, and fishing come together. All events subject to change, so stay tuned for an unforgettable day of ice fishing and family fun. Meister Log & Lumber would like to remind all landowners with timber property that trees are a valuable asset. You can rely on Meister Log & Lumber Company to help you manage your property timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Wachowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber, 608-434-4413.
On our morning show today from WRCO, WRCE, we're here to talk to Laura Selgeby, Activities Director, Assistant Principal at the Richland School District, and Ryan Lemke, Co-Principal and Head Baseball Coach. Good to have them in here. Some good friends in the studio today. We're picking up on a conversation. In fact, we started it a bit when Steve Board was here a week or so ago, but talking a little bit about athletes and their status and not trying to jeopardize that a little bit. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
This is a subject I know that we've talked about before, kind of you and I off the court, but it can be a serious subject, can't it?
Yeah, you know, the amateur athletic status of high school athletes around the nation is a topic that gets brought up every year. Many states are moving away from the real strict rules that we still abide by here in Wisconsin. And that's been conversation amongst our Athletic Director Association and the WIAA in the last few years. But mostly it's just trying to educate the public, educate our business owners, educate our parents, our students, and just try not to jeopardize their amateur athletic status through the WIAA rules.
There have been a few stories statewide where, you know, sometimes it's innocent enough, but maybe a student loses that amateur status through no fault of their own.
Right. That, you know, the situation where a business, you know, has a picture of an athlete and chooses to use it, the student might not know, the parent might not know, the school might not know. And if that business uses it and that gets turned in and they're using that athlete to advertise their business, that's a violation. So it's something that we really are trying to get the word out about, you know, how we can and cannot, you know, portray our student athletes while they are still student athletes.
What are the differences? Now, let's say a student goes, gets their picture taken, accepting a check for a club they're involved in, and it's posted. Is that legal or not?
So as far as, you know, if they're accepting a check for Key Club, for example, as a donation, a lot of the language that the WIAA uses is using their name, image, or likeness as an athlete. So if they say John Smith, Richland Center High School football player, wrestler, and Key Club member, yes, that would be a violation because they are addressing them as a member of an athletic sport team. I believe that would be a pretty gray area. We really encourage our businesses while we thrive. The only way we can survive is by the generosity of our local businesses. We encourage them, if they want to take pictures, use our coaches. I would be happy as the athletic director to come. Use a former athlete, a graduated senior, who can still wear a jersey, but they no longer have WIAA eligibility. Any of those would be perfectly fine and legal, but high school athletes just have these really strict rules that we try to follow because we want to make sure we can ensure their status.
Good point. So like a coach or maybe somebody from the booster club or something like that, that's totally different then.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Adults, we've lost our years of eligibility, so to speak. So we can accept those and they can use that as a marketing tool out in the community to show that they're supportive of the school. And like I said, we can't support them enough and thank them enough for the what they do for us. We could not sustain the programs we have without the generosity of the local businesses.
Ryan Lemke is here as well. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Doing real well. I know you taught and coached in another state. Do you recall what those rules were? Are they similar to Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's a great question. There are some similarities, but I was down in Arizona and I coached in Illinois as well. And there's some similarities with all the states I've been involved with, but there are some differences. Arizona's a little more wide open. It seems like the IAI is kind of a little more athlete friendly, okay, so to speak, where a little more is tolerated amongst athletes and they can do a little bit more, but there also are some regulations. And what Laura was talking about, it is gray. There are some gray areas with all states I've experienced, but the WIAAs, so to speak, are very similar. Okay, in each state, but there are differences, and it's tricky to be aware of each state's individual rules.
I'm guessing, you know, as a coach too, you have to be aware of those things at all times, don't you?
Yeah, more so now than ever. I think this is one thing that Laura's been great with us with talking to us about what some violations look like and educating us as coaches, so then we can in turn help with our student athletes and the rest of our coaching staff and on what to watch out for, what's okay, what's not okay, and just kind of navigating these waters because they can be rough, as you've seen across the state with some of these issues. Like, they just kind of pop up out of nowhere. So we want to make sure that we're we're in the world of prevention for these things and not in damage control. So I think a big part of that is education.
At the same time, and you know, as a coach too, schools can only fund so much. So it's important to have these fundraisers and things like that. And you guys do with baseball quite
often. Right. We're out in the community as much as we possibly can be for baseball. And we rely on donations from businesses and all those things. And maybe hopefully getting into the world of sponsorships a little bit for certain things. But yeah, it's definitely, there's a balance, right? We do rely on our businesses and we thank them so much for their generosity, but we need to be making sure that everything's done in the correct way, right? With so we're in compliance with WIAA.
Yeah, have to be. That's for sure. Certainly, I was thinking about you yesterday. The snow is melting a little bit, and I'm thinking it almost felt like it was early March or something like that for baseball.
Right. I woke up this morning, got outside, and I was like, all right, it's time to go. Let's get going. First game's right around the corner. It's usually after winter break where I really start to think about it every single day. And the first warmer day, and I'm air quoting as it's still 30 degrees outside, warmer. But it starts to get that feel for sure.
Shovel that field off here pretty soon.
That's right.
some years I know you've had some of those early season tournaments where it was lucky if you got out of the 30s.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And it does. It feels like a March, April baseball game outside right now. And this is the type of weather that we're all bundled up. And, you know, the players hit, you know, on the end of the bat or get jammed and they're shaking their hands for the next three innings because it hurts so bad. But it's part of it. It's Wisconsin baseball. I know I was spoiled for 5 years in Arizona. You know, that's baseball heaven down there, but it's pros and cons of both locations, and I love it here, and I can't wait to go.
Yeah, they play pretty much year round in Arizona, don't they?
Yeah, it's a different beast. Even in the summer, you know, it's pushing 115 and we're outside at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the railings are so hot in the dugout, you can't touch them and all that fun stuff. So there's definitely season disadvantages for each location.
I know that you really like to push those co-curriculars and everything. And not only as a coach, but, you know, as a co-principal, I'm sure you probably see a little bit less behavior problems when kids are involved in things, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, one of our kind of administrative goals is to have every student in our building involved in something. Okay, if we can get them involved, they build those connections with other students, with staff, and things are overall better for those particular students. So we absolutely want them to be involved in things. Behavior is tied to that a lot of the times, and sometimes it's just because they have a mentor or somebody to talk to about these things. They can talk through some of their problems. The other time is when you have a coach holding them accountable. That extra level of accountability helps, right? If I find out as a baseball coach that, you know, one of my players was rude in class or whatever, that there might be a natural consequence on the baseball field, right? There might be something that actually they don't want to let you down as a coach, right? They look up to coaches, they look up to supervisors of clubs, so they don't want to let anyone down, and that's a big part of it as well.
And sure, Laura, certainly attendance I think is affected too, where student, hey, I don't want to miss because I don't want to miss the game,
right? You know, kind of correlates with the behavior piece. The more active and involved kids are, the more they're in school, the more they want to be in school, that they have more to look forward to than just hanging out with their friends and being in their classes. So it's real important that, like Ryan said, we're really making a push to try to have something that our school offers, whether it be athletics or in our co-curriculars, that every student can find something that they want to be a part of. And that's been something for the last few years. We have several staff members right now going through the process of starting some new clubs. And so we're hoping to try to hit some of those groups of kids that just what we offer currently doesn't really fit them, and that maybe this would be something that they would jump into, and really looking to get kids more involved.
Yeah, everybody has their thing, you know, and if you can get somebody fired up about it, everybody wins, don't they?
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we're talking about photos used by students and things like that by businesses. But is there a gray area for the school as well? Like if, let's say, somebody goes out, a team goes out and wins an award, posting those pictures. And how does that fit in, Laura?
Yeah, you know, photos, again, a lot of the NIL language is based off a benefit to the student athlete. So, you know, a team wins a state championship, so to speak, they're going to put that in the paper. Nothing wrong with that. It's more of a business using that state championship picture to promote the business.
Oh.
That's kind of where the photos kind of, it's in promotion of a business, or the student athlete or student athlete group monetarily benefiting from it.
I see. But like if grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads are taking pictures and posting them, there's not much you can do about that, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, grandmas and grandpas, moms, dad, they're just proud of their kids and they want to show them off, and that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The picture and the name, though, is there a difference? Like if you've got the picture and the
name? Again, I don't think on a, you know, I would call it a personal level. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you know, talking about kids doing their sports and things like that. That's not any profit or potential benefit monetarily to the student.
Mm-hmm. There's a fine line, too. I know you want to keep the amateur status, too, but students can't accept anything, too, in terms of winning or whatever the case might be.
Right. Yep, that's true. There's some pretty strict guidelines on monetarily, even with, like, team awards. You know, you might be the most valuable player on your team, but there's a rule on what that can be, what's allowable for a coach, so to speak, to give an athlete at the end of the season. You know, we're not giving out new cars, things like that. That would be unacceptable. So there are monetary limits to what students can accept for those sorts of things.
I remember many years ago, Home Talent, we were giving away hats to the player of the game, but we had to be careful just because even though it's a hat, it's not really worth much. But if a high school kid wins it, it would be a little bit different story, too.
Sure. Yep. I always encourage people, just ask. If I don't know the answer, and I don't know all of them, you know, these rules have changed over the years. Probably every other year, there's some new tweak to it. I will get an answer. You know, so a lot of it's just pre-planning. You know, if you want to do that, hey, we'd like to give out these hats to our home talent kids. We got high school kids. Find out if it's legal. I'm more than happy to spend the time to find that answer out for people.
So you can proceed to the WIA and kind of check
absolutely.
Out those things.
Okay. Absolutely. And they would rather us ask and find out yes or no than just assume we can do it based on our interpretation of their rule and have it be wrong. And then we all feel bad because the kid is the one who ultimately would suffer.
There's been talk, too, you know, that's changed in the college ranking, Ryan. There's been talk about that coming down to the high school where maybe a high school athlete can sell their likeness. And, boy, that kind of would really open a can of worms, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think college is trying to navigate it. And obviously, in college, a lot of the times those players or those athletes bring in a ton of money for their school. The same isn't the case for high school. There are certain examples right across the country in some big-time markets and some big-time, and I'm air-quoting, big-time high schools, right, that have a freak athlete come through, a generational talent. You hear that word thrown around where that's, I think, what they're talking about a lot of those times, but it's not the average high school athlete, right? I think it gets really, really messy when you're starting to use money as a reward high school athletes for certain things. And I know the WIAA is against recruiting for public schools, and that just opens up a huge can of worms with recruiting on essentially who's got the bigger paycheck in the community to get student athletes to go to one school or the other.
Yeah, I guess we kind of hope that it doesn't come to that, right?
Right, because I don't have a big enough paycheck.
No, exactly. Laura?
Yeah, so at our fall caucus meeting that we had, they provided us with a little bit of details about how NIL is coming into high school ranks nationwide. And the data that they shared with us was 2 years ago, there were 16 states that had limited NIL for high school. Last year, there were 32 states that had some form of an NIL for high school, and that there's 7 more states that are considering it. So it is something that the National Federation is encouraging states to discuss it early and see how some of these other states are doing it, have done it, was it successful, are they going back, are they going back to the old way, are they moving forward? It's something that definitely is going to be talked about in the WIAA level and throughout the state in the coming years, just because there are so many states slowly moving towards it. And it's going to be, like Ryan said, it's going to be a challenge with all those other pieces that will fall into play if and when that happens.
So then the things that we talked about earlier in the program, maybe they're not relevant anymore then, right?
In 2 years, we may have the potential for limited NIL opportunities. And I would assume that would come with some stipulations, some type of caps, some type of metrics that are going to have to be followed. Because otherwise, like Ryan alluded to, you're going to have some, you know, affluent, you know, suburban or inner, you know, metropolitan schools that just have more fund base. And that's going to then jump into the transfer situations of kids wanting to transfer because now they have these opportunities where there's more fund base to have these opportunities. So I feel like it may come in at some point in the next few years, but I have a feeling it would be a small step to start with as they watch other states that have done it for a year or two. You know, this 2 years ago is probably pretty new for these states, and they're going to be navigating it and reevaluating it every year.
So the school is not, when you're talking about schools that are richer, they not necessarily are paying the athletes, but if they're going to those communities, there are opportunities for sponsorship maybe from local businesses a
Correct.
Little bit more?
I see. Correct. It's you know, you have a large metropolitan area. They just have a natural, larger metropolitan fund base of business as opposed to smaller rural schools.
So, and you talked about transfer. What are the transfer rules right now? I mean, not looking into the future, but right now, they're pretty strict, aren't they?
So transfer rules, they're pretty strict transfer rules. Basically, what we've been told by the WIAA is if you have a student transfer from another school district into your school beginning their freshman year, you should always assume they are ineligible until they have gone through all of the transfer paperwork. And each year, there's a different metric. As an incoming freshman, it's different than as an incoming sophomore, junior, senior. Every year is different, and the rules get stricter as they get older. And what you or I may seem as just a natural, for example, mom and dad are separated or divorced, live in the Madison area, mom moves to Richland Center, child is a junior, they move with. There is a likelihood that child would be ineligible from varsity competition for a calendar year because it would be seen as a choice of where the child moved after they had already established their status in a Madison school. Now, there are all kinds of what ifs and how to's, and there's a waiver process. Mm-hmm. And we've done this, I can't tell you, half a dozen or more times a year, if not more. We go through this transfer scenario with various different kids in different situations. And I can tell you not one single transfer situation probably this year was exactly the same as the next. So you have the rules sitting in front of you. You're following the rules. You're filling out the paperwork with the kid and the family. It's just really important that as students transfer in, if they intend on participating in sports, we get that transfer paperwork started early so we can follow what the metric says to us. And if it, example, if that junior says they're ineligible for a calendar year of varsity competition, we feel there's extenuating circumstances, then we would move into working on the waiver process and going through the different steps that the waiver process requires us to do.
Yeah, if the child is living, you know, kind of in between mom and dad, I understand that. But it seems like if they move with a parent and that's where their established residence is, it should be, you know, black and white. But I guess it isn't the case always, is it?
No, it's not. And we've even had situations in the last couple years where a family makes a total and complete move, let's say here, and they're living here, but they still own the former residence. And their child established eligibility at the former residence, we have had to show proof that that residence is either for sale or they are renting and they have proof of rental, because that still shows that they still have residence in another district where they establish their WIAA eligibility.
Wow. Lots of rules that you don't even think of.
There's a lot of rules, and every year we catch ourselves like, oh, we have to do this, and we have to make sure we do this, and the rules change. You know, there are little changes every year to a lot of the rules, and they're just things that, you know, you would think common sense, and this just makes sense, but when you find out the whys and you hear about stories of, you know, like Ryan alluded to, recruiting and things like that, of what's going on and why things are happening, that's why these rules are in place.
But then you get into, Ryan, you know, school choice, and that's a little bit different story as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Obviously, you know, with the open enrollment, a student can technically go anywhere, but once they're at a school, right, then Laura talked about that they're established there, and then things change, right? And then, you know, it prevents students from hopping around all 4 years and going to different schools and playing for different coaches. And, you know, it's not beneficial for the student. And I think that's ultimately what the WIAA is trying to do. And they're also trying to level the playing field, kind of, right? That with public schools anyway, that's not talking about private schools. There's kind of open season on the recruiting. So I think they do have to take a look at that and fix that. If they're going to do it, I think they need to make sure that everyone's incorporating the same rules, because public schools are following one set of rules and then privates following completely non-existent set of rules, seems like.
Right. The last thing you'd want to do, though, is start to make a run in baseball. All of a sudden, you have an ineligible player, and you read that all the time in the state.
Yeah, it's a scary thing, right? And it seemingly only happens to teams that are on a run, right? Because if you're 3-14, no one's going to bother looking into it, right? But if you're in the running for a conference title or a state championship, then people are going to start doing some digging and make sure everything, like all your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed. So Laura's done a fantastic job in making sure all of our student athletes, those T's are crossed and our I's are dotted, and making sure those transfers are good to go.
Yeah, and you hear all the time state stories too about a player that they were a star last year here, and then they're playing here the next year. It always does make you wonder a little bit.
Yeah, it does. But you know, luckily, I think in Southwest Wisconsin, for the most part, we've got a, to my knowledge, a good group of, I speak on baseball, good group of baseball coaches that understand that no one's trying to get a unfair advantage over the next group. I think, you know, otherwise, I think, you know, you'd have a plane full of Latin American players coming over or something like that. I think you don't see that stuff here, right? You hear about it in other bigger markets, you know, those horror stories about, you know, those big recruiting violations. But it doesn't happen in Southwest Wisconsin so far, and I think that's a good thing, especially in baseball. It's a fair game, and you know, they're always trying to be competitive, but I think you can't, you know, bend or break the rules to get an edge.
And I think about numbers, too, and Richland Center's had pretty good numbers. And I think about the spring, in which, you know, you coach a sport, but you're dealing with lots of other sports, and it seems like all of the teams at Richland Center were pretty full last year,
too. Yeah, we were. I think, you know, my first year coaching baseball here, I think we had 16 student-athletes in the baseball program, and now we've grown to about 35, okay, and now this will be my fourth year, so we're really happy about that. But I think it's just our athletic program as a whole, and I think it's our kind of what I talked about earlier, our goal in our one of our administrative goals, like every student's involved in something, okay, and spring sports are a good representative of that, like track, you know, student athletes that have never done anything before, okay, students that have never done anything before, track's a good one to get their feet wet with things and go out. It's a team sport, but it's also individual sport, so that's a good one. Baseball, obviously a team game, but we have a lot of players come out every year that have never played baseball before because they want to be around the coaching staff, the rest of the players, and you know, I take that as a huge compliment to my staff and those things, and soccer as well. So I think, and golf, right? You go out and you can golf whenever you want. So I think our golf team's growing. So our spring sports are strong. Our sports as a whole are strong. That's a credit to Laura. It's a credit to, you know, our student athletes that are willing to go out and put in the time and effort and, you know, and join something bigger.
And Laura, we've watched the last couple of years anyway. You've got athletes that sometimes play two sports, and that's something that is allowed too.
Absolutely. We've tested the waters with that. That started, you know, the first one I remember, I was still coaching, and it was probably 5 years before that. So we probably started that 10 or so years ago. It's a little more challenging, but when you have the ability and you want to work with other coaches, you know, a lot of it is coaches working together, kids, and family is making the commitment that they're willing to do both because it is more time commitment for them. But it's good if a kid isn't sure, especially when they're freshmen or sophomores, if they're really not sure what they want to do yet and they have the ability to try two different things out. You know, if our coaches are willing to work with them and our numbers are such that it benefits our programs, we're absolutely going to try to make every effort to allow that to happen.
I was amazed in the fall because you had at least one or two that ran cross country and played soccer. And can you imagine the number of steps they take in a day?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Probably more than I take in a year, you know. But anyway, we'll be back with more in the morning show. Laura Selgeby is here, Ryan Lemke, as we talk about the Richland School District and athletics and co-curriculars. And we'll talk more coming up in a moment.
Family Prescription Center. Your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Added Touch Floral and Gifts has a wonderful selection of cemetery memorials in their sympathy room. Choose from beautiful silk or real flower arrangements, chimes, angels, crosses, and stone ornaments with meaningful tributes on them. Added Touch has a wonderful display of fresh flowers, unique gifts, cards, balloons, and more. Ashley and the Added Touch team is your friendly full-service florist on Main Street, Richland Center, 647-2319, or find them on the web at addedtouchfloral.com and like them on Facebook.
Hello everyone, it's Brian from Walsh's. I am pleased to announce we are carrying a new line of smokeless fire pit called Brio. These pits are made out of stainless steel and are built tough. The X series line comes in three sizes, while the Y series comes in one size, and you can use firewood, charcoal, or pellets, and it's portable for camping in the Y series. And don't forget the great accessories that you can get to cook one of the best meals you've ever had. So stop in at our Richland Center store to see the Brio, and as always, we appreciate your business.
When it comes to your home's plumbing needs, you can trust and rely on Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. From new water heaters, sump pumps, and garbage disposals, to fixing a leaky faucet or a running toilet, we will solve your issues and provide you with the best options for your home. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Do you want to optimize the amount of plant nutrition provided by the microbes in your soil? Source it. Want to replace 25 pounds of nitrogen and phosphorus per acre with a soil activator that doesn't leach or volatilize? Then source it. How about a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season? Yep, source it. Want peace of mind knowing that your nutrition plan is guaranteed to make money? You guessed it. Source it. Unlock your crop's potential and increase ROI with a low-use rate foliar spray that doesn't require an extra pass in your fields. Source is easy to handle, easy to apply, and easy to store. So if you want an easy way to make your fertilizer plan more efficient and save money, there's only one answer. Source it. Learn more at sound.ag.
Our morning show continues on WRCO. Activities Director and Assistant Principal Laura Selgeby is here, and Co-Principal and Head Baseball Coach Ryan Lemke from Richland Schools are here. Laura, I didn't hear from you or John this morning, so it must have been full speed ahead for the school today.
Yep, the weather here this morning held out for us, and I told John last night I was never so happy that they were back from their conference, so I didn't have to watch the weather at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was real glad when I saw the forecast for the week that he was going to be back.
This is one of those tricky days, though, when I wouldn't want to be making the decisions, because you just don't know, do you?
Yeah, you know, you watch the forecast. We've been watching it for the last week, and every day the little red triangle on what the alert day is going to be. It was Friday, it was Wednesday, it was Tuesday, and back to Wednesday. You just really don't know where it's going to hit or where that line is going to be, that if you're north of the line, you're fine. If you're south of the line, you're not. So it's just, we have to play it by ear and make the best decision as we can to make sure people can get to and from school safely and to and from athletic events safely, and we do the best we can.
And today, too, you're going to be looking at some things maybe for the rest of the day and even tomorrow, just kind of keeping an eye on it, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we host a nice quad tonight. Luckily, the schools are pretty close. You know, what I last looked at is that we might get a little snow midday, but that should be it. And then the rest is going to start in the overnight. We should be okay with that tonight, but we'll watch. You know, we'll be looking at least once an hour, checking the weather, hearing what other people around the area are doing, you know, because Riverdale's coming up tonight, but if they're already getting bad weather, we may not be seeing it here in Richland Center. So we just try to keep those lines of communication as early in the day as we can. I'm sure the first thing I do when I get back is I'll shoot messages out and say, hey, if anybody starts to have weather in your area, you know, let's get on a conversation and talk about what our plans are and if you can still travel, if things like that. So there's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to weather.
I think that's how some of the decisions are made about school, whether you go or not, because I think, don't you kind of co-op with all the area districts to kind of see what they're doing?
I think there's lots of conversation for sure, because all school districts are big. You know, we butt up to all kinds of different school districts, and if that edge of our district is bad, you need to have that information. And so there's a lot of information sharing going on. I'm pretty sure John has a group that he works with pretty good with all of the other area people that make those calls. I know we are at LinkedIn with the weather. You know, they give us our specific for Richland Center, what the predictions are, what time of day it's supposed to hit. Is it supposed to be snow? Is it supposed to be a mix? Is it supposed to be rain? You know, what's the wind going to do? We have lots of pieces coming in of information to help make those decisions.
And I'm thinking as activities director, too, you probably talk a lot with Cobus and Buses, too, to kind of see what they're thinking, too, don't you?
Yeah. Yep. You have to be in communication with Bev down at Cobuson and what things are doing and the county department. I called them once last week. Just, hey, what are the roads like? Your guys have been out, you know, and just get information from them. The police departments have been great. Sheriff's department, you know, anytime you call, they're willing to help out with these early morning calls. I know I was making some weather calls a couple years ago from South Dakota over Christmas break, you know, calling a former student who actually works for the sheriff's department. I was like, hey, are you working the overnight? Can I text you about 5 o'clock to see what the roads are like? And they're always willing to help if they're on duty and they're out and about.
Make those decisions. Kind of a group effort, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, as activities director, finding officials. How hard is that, Laura?
Yeah. So, you know, this is my fifth year. The first year I started in this role was great. The world started normal in 2019. And by March 14th or whatever that date was of 2020, COVID had showed up. And what happened throughout the state the rest of that year and the following year when we were under a lot of different protocols is the state lost about 3,000 officials. There were about 3,000 officials that moving into the 21-22 school year just weren't officiating anymore for one reason or another. And you look at that number, well, there were about 9,500 officials to start with in 2019. Going into 21, there were about 6,500. And that's just 3,000 less officials. And what they're finding is that median age of officials is 50 to 60. You know, that's the age, and we're not really getting a lot of recruitment of younger officials. And so the push to try to improve that based on the feedback that the WIAA is getting from officials is, you know, there's a lot of variables. Of course, age, as people get older, they're just done. They have other things they want to do. They have grandkids they want to watch, all of those types of things. But one of the big things is the conduct of athletes, of coaches, of student fans, parent fans, community fans. You know, officials are just saying, for 2 hours, we're not getting paid enough to do that. So we, as a conference, we've done this. We've started a kind of a leadership conference that is going to rotate amongst our schools. And we're really working on student athletes being leaders of our student sections and being positive. Cheer for your team, not against the other team. You know, we're really trying to push the positive fan behavior, because the reality in the end, if we can't find officials, we can't play the games. And that's just the sad reality. I know I spoke to an AD not too long ago that's just really struggling to find officials for a game. And as of last night, they didn't have any for a game tonight. So they either are not going to be playing that game, or they potentially may have to move it away instead of home. There's just such a lack of officials. So here's my plug. If anybody is interested in officiating, I would encourage you to do it. You know, we would be happy to hire young, new, you know, even older new officials. We are happy to hire anyone that wants to get started, and we'll start you out at lower levels. We'll pair you with, you know, upper level officials or experienced officials to try to help get some knowledge and some content. And are at a drastic loss of officials, and we really need to get new people into that field.
You got to instill it in them young. And Ryan, I think, didn't you recently have a class or a group of students where they kind of took an officiating class?
Yeah, we did. The day before winter break, we offered a whole bunch of different activities for our students. It's the day before winter break. There's our teachers are kind of wanting to sell us a little bit, so we gave them some options. And one of the options, it was a fantastic idea. It was Mr. Noah Johnson's and Mr. Mike Davis's idea. Mike's one of our middle school basketball coaches. Noah Johnson is a certified basketball referee as well as a certified umpire. And I don't know if he's football or not, but he does a lot of everything. But they held a basketball refereeing class. It was basically all day long. It was a group of 10 to 15 students that were interested, that wanted to be there. They took them into the gym and then just talked about basketball refereeing, played some scrimmage games in there, had, scenario refereeing situations, and just try to get them hooked, try to get them into it. And I know that that's something huge with our youth leagues around the area and youth leagues around the country. I remember looking back when I was playing baseball, I'd be at the little league field all the time umpiring games, right? It starts at those younger ages. It's a nice way to make a little cash on the side of whatever else you're doing. And you get involved with a game that you love, right? Whether you used to play basketball, whether you used to play baseball or football or whatever it is, soccer. It's a good way to still remain around that game. And it's in, you know, talking about not just the youth, but for those, you know, older people in our community, that it's a good retirement gig, right? You can come out and we can talk to Ms. Sugby or myself, and we can help you out with getting those certifications needed, and talk about that process a little bit. And then we can get you out there and just try you out with some games and some different levels, and see what you like, see what you're good at, and go from there. So there's no pressure, but yeah, we definitely want to get our youth more involved in umpiring and reffing and being a fit. Hopefully that'll lead to community having a better population of officials down the
road. Oh, it'd be interesting to see how many of those students might do it again somewhere along the line, right?
Yeah, I think it was a great first day of it, but it wasn't enough, and we know that, right? So now it's back to the drawing board. We all looked at each other like, that was awesome. How do we recreate that without taking too much academic time away, right? Where can we put this in to make this happen? But it's something that we need, okay? It's very, very clearly, like, we need this, not just as Richland Center, but just as a Southwest Wisconsin, as a state. We need officials. But those 3,000 that are out, once COVID hit, like, we need to somehow repopulate our officials.
And I know for baseball too, it's very difficult, you know, because a lot of times when you're playing on a Friday, for instance, there are games all over the state where they need umpires.
Yep, and I'm hearing more and more umpires of when they come to our game or after they when they're leaving our game, they say, hey, they have to run up to Mauston to do a game at Woodside or whatever. So they're starting to more and more frequently double dip on the same day. That's a lot, right? School districts are paying mileage for officials to travel a long ways and all that stuff. So not only is it taxing on our already limited official pool, but it's a taxing on our financial of our school districts.
Fan behavior is key too, isn't it? To kind of give them a break.
Yeah, it is. You know, a lot of the times, you know, we hear it as coaching staffs, and you know, we talk amongst ourselves about it. But you know, fan behavior needs to be kept in check, right? And it's okay. It's natural to be frustrated with things and upset with things, but it's also you need to do your greatest self-control to just kind of keep yourself or talk amongst your family about those situations. But yelling out at officials doesn't help this issue at all, right? It drives people away. I think Laura talked about it. Like, they don't get paid enough for 2 hours of work to get screamed and yelled at the whole time. And luckily, on the baseball side of things, our families have done a pretty nice job lately. Okay, every now and then we have to remind some families about certain situations, but it does happen, right? And we see it when we go to places. We see other schools. We're like, whoa, it doesn't look like it's a one-time thing from pitch one. You know, you'll hear parents or fans that are on officials, and it stands out, right? It stands out. It's not a good look for the school. It's not a good look for athletic departments. It's not a good look for the baseball team, whoever we're playing. So we just got to be aware of we can control what we can control, and we can help control the Richland Center population a little bit with being appropriate with officials.
I'm sure you tell your players, too, to let you do the talking if there has to be any talking going.
Absolutely. I tell our players and sometimes our other assistant coaches, right, that, you know, head coaches are the ones that should be interacting with the officials and really going up. And you know, if you disagree with a call, it's totally fine, right? You can go and do that in an appropriate way. You can go talk to the referee. I think a lot of our coaches have done a great job. I saw Coach Bowles do it the other night. He went and had a conversation with the officials. I see Coach Troxel will do it from time to time. Just go and have a conversation with the officials. You don't need to run up to them screaming and yelling, right? And that's something that is now my 10th year in coaching, right, where I've learned how to do that. And it's a learned thing, right? When you're first starting, fired up, you know, down in Arizona, I'd come unglued on some people. And I look back, I'm like, that's not a good look, right? And as you go through the process of learning and changing and evolving your coaching style, that's part of it, right? Learning how to communicate with those officials, because you want these guys to come back and umpire your games, or guys or girls come back and umpire, ref your games. And if you're screaming and yelling at them as a head coach or any coaching staff or fans, it's not a good look, and it's going to be a hard sell to get them to come back.
Indeed. And for your staff too, Laura, that's working the games, you don't want your meat managers put into situations sometimes either, do you?
Yeah, it does. It definitely puts people in an awkward situation, especially, you know, if it's a home fan and everybody that's working at those games, whether it's crowd control, game manager, myself, we all know each other for the most part. You know, it just puts people in an awkward situation to have to go have those conversations, but you have to have those tough conversations, you know, and then I've been here 30 years and it's one of those things where, you know, people are passionate. You know, they're passionate about their kids. And that's really what it all boils down to. They feel that their child is somehow getting the brunt of something that the official isn't doing. But it's not beneficial to the overall tenure of the game. And the games need to be played. And we need officials to play the games. The kids love the games. We do this for the kids. So if controlling your emotions to waiting till you're in the car driving home to be upset at an official, if you need to do that because we love watching your kids play, please do that. Like, that's kind of my message, is please just try to remember this is all for the kids. And if we don't have officials willing to officiate, your kids are not going to be able to play. And that's really challenging. And like Ryan said, you know, we get some really good officials that come in and we want them to come back. But if they hear that, oh, did you hear what happened? Or did you hear this happened? Or this happened to me at Richland Center? There's a likelihood that some of those officials are going to say, no, I don't need to make that 60-mile drive for that. but we need those officials. And every sport, Ryan has them in baseball, you know, Jamie's got them in volleyball, basketball coaches have them. They have officials that they want at games because they're consistent officials. They're all going to make mistakes. Nobody's doubting that. Coaches are going to make mistakes. Kids are going to make mistakes. Officials are going to make mistakes. That's human nature. You can't expect them to be perfect. But if they can be consistent and they can recognize, yep, that probably wasn't good, I'm going to do that different next time. You know, that's part of it. Everybody's learning. Every game is different. You can't recreate a basketball game to be identical the next time you play it. So every single thing about that game is going to be different. We're really working with our students to be leaders, to lead positively, and we hope that that's going to help carry over to our fans and our parents, and it just will make a more positive atmosphere.
You guys do a great job. You're going to be busy here coming up in February. You have a wrestling meet. You host the Super Regional this year, don't you?
Yep, we're going to get to host the Super Regional again. Last year was the first year where they made these Super Regionals where 16 teams come. So we get to host the Division II Super Regional again. We're super excited about that. Every year, it seems, the WIAA tweaks who they send to different regionals, and we're going to see some schools we have not had before down here. So we always look forward to showcasing our school. We all think we have a great facility, and we love bringing 1,000 people in to watch a wrestling match, and those big tournaments are great. Our wrestling staff does a fantastic job getting mats out and getting all the clocks and timers set up. You know, they do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work as far as getting prepared for those events, and our custodial staff getting our stages and just everything up. You know, it takes a village, so to speak. Those big tournaments take lots and lots of people. Our booster club runs our concession stand for us. So, you know, you got lots of people involved in making those events happen. So we're really excited we get to host one again.
Yep. And you'll be watching the weather this afternoon about tonight's quad then, too.
Yes, we sure will.
Yeah, we hope that goes well. And you also host a basketball tournament, too, don't you?
Yep, somewhere? We have a Division V girls sectional semifinal. Okay. So a Thursday night game. Little bit later on, so that'll be exciting too. We love hosting those too. We've always said, we've been, of course, 28 years ago when the new school opened up, we were pretty much the biggest facility around for many, many years. And you know, you get to host some of those D4 and D5 schools, and we always said they literally turn the light off when the last person drives out of town because everybody comes, and those places are packed for those small school games as you move into tournaments. So it's just a lot of fun. The atmosphere is great.
And it's great for the community too, for commerce too. You know, you're bringing in people to eat and maybe stay overnight in some cases too.
Yep, so. Absolutely. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. We have some wrestling teams coming from 2.5 hours away for the regional. It wouldn't surprise me if they came the night before. We've had teams do that before. You know, they come in the night before and stay overnight just so it's a 5-minute drive instead of a 2.5-hour drive. Plus, you got to get up early to get to the bus and things like that. So it's good for our community. You know, people are buying gas or buying snacks or eating out. It's just really good for our community to be able to host these events.
We look forward to it. Ryan, we'll be talking to you soon, too. I'm optimistic for the spring season.
I can't wait, Phil.
And warmer weather, too.
That's so. Right. I just close my eyes and think of 70 and sunny.
Green grass.
That's right.
Down the road. Well, thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Laura Selgeby, Activities Director and also Assistant Principal. Ryan Lemke, Co-Principal and Head Baseball Coach. Here on the Morning Show from WRCO.
Dunkin' Reward members can look forward to the fresh offers in the new year, including a $2 medium hot or iced coffee, limit one per member per day. Triple points when boosted members place an order through the mobile app on Wednesdays, and 100 bonus points for all members who place an order through the mobile app on Mondays. Those who aren't Dunkin' Rewards members can sign up for free on the Dunkin' app or by visiting DunkinRewards.com. Get a free medium beverage with your first purchase, so quick sign up and start earning free Dunkin' today. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14, next to the Ring Brothers.
Gunderson Bosqueval Area Hospital and Clinics is proud to introduce family medicine physician Mark Wilkinson. With nearly 30 years of experience, Dr. Wilkinson is excited to join our growing primary care team and care for the great people who call Southwest Wisconsin home. Dr. Wilkinson looks forward to meeting new families and caring for all ages at our Bosqueval and Muscadet Clinics. For an appointment with Dr. Wilkinson, call Gunderson Bosqueval today.
The Avoca and Rural Fire Department invites you to spend some time on the ice at the 44th Annual Fishery, Saturday, February 10th, featuring a euchre tournament at noon, meat paddles, a huge raffle, and a large live auction. It's a special day benefiting the Avoca Fire Department. Fishery participants may register starting at 6 a.m. A food stand will be open all day. The grand prize, $3,000 cash prize. Other contributing sponsors include Whiskey Row, the Don Meese Family, and the Honor Company. Avoca and Rural Fire Department look forward to seeing you on Saturday,